Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But as Phil has already said, this is a Frontline Sunday, and it's the fourth Frontline Sunday. And it has the title, Whoever We Are. Whoever We Are. I read the notes that will go with this particular series, and I really like the beginning of it. I'm going to read it to you rather than try and say it myself. It says this, Whoever we are, however insignificant we feel, we make all the difference in the world because we are on our front lines. First as a son and daughter of the King, a child of God. Our value, our worth, our significance, and our life on the front line flows from this identity. This is liberating. That sets the scene for us, I think. Perhaps you know who you are. I think I know who I am, Sheila Easby. But actually, I only really know who I am when I look at myself in Jesus. He is in me, and I am in him. Do you know that song? It was on television the other day. I was listening to it. It's called You Lift Me Up. And every time I hear that song, it makes me cry because it's just so special. And I think it's the very end of the chorus, the line that says, you lift me up to more than I can be. That's so important to me because that's, I feel, what God has done for me. He's made me into more than I could possibly be on my own. So my identity has to be in him. So important. And I'm so thankful every day for that strength and that power that he gives me and made me more than I can be on my own. What potential there is in knowing yourself in Jesus. In our house group a few weeks ago, we were talking about what the difference about being a Christian was to us. One of our members, and I have his permission to say this, he said I could name him, but I won't. I'll leave you to guess. He said, well, when I suddenly realized a couple of days after I'd become a Christian and somebody wanted to know, did it make a difference? And I said, yes, I suddenly know who I am. Isn't that important? In Jesus, he suddenly discovered who he was. Today, we've read the prayer that Jesus taught us, taught his disciples to say and told us to say. And we say it often, don't we? We will say it together in the service. But do we skate over it, or do we think about the words and what it means on our front line? We're going to look at some of these words this morning to help us grasp, I hope, whoever we are. So the first little bit, our Father in heaven. First and foremost on our front line, we need to know that we are sons and daughters of Almighty God. He is our Father, but he's also more than that. He is the King of Kings. You know, this is quite a thing to grasp, isn't it? This amazing God who was created, who was over everything, who was holy and perfect, is our Father. That's quite incredible, isn't it? I can remember a long time ago, very long time ago, I won't tell you how long it is, you can probably work it out. It was just after Harvey Nichols opened in Leeds. So if anybody can remember back that far, that was it. And I went into that shop with my daughter Jane. And she said to me, we were going round, "Mum, I don't know how you dare come in a shop like this. It's far too posh. I feel really uncomfortable." And I said to her, probably very glibly, I must add, "Darling, I can go anywhere. I'm the daughter of a king." But you see, that's the truth, isn't it? When we grasp our worth and our significance in our Father, it's so liberating, as we said. Perhaps you find the image of a father quite difficult for many reasons. A lot of people do, for all sorts of reasons. If that's you, ask God to help you to see him as Father. Because I've seen people who have had difficulties with this come to really know the perfect Father that God is. Jesus called God Father, and he says we can too. In Romans 8, we read this. "And by him," that is Jesus, "we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are children of God." I can remember being in Israel. We worked there one summer when we were training. And I was in the Jewish section in Jerusalem. And I heard a child running after his dad, shouting, "Abba." And that really says it, doesn't it? It was his dad. Do you remember Francis, what he used to call God? He always called him Dad, didn't he? You know, when we know this, when we really grasp that fatherness of God, the father heart that he is, we are changed. No matter what we face in life, and storms certainly come, don't they? We can be confident of who we are in Jesus, and he will give us wisdom and understanding. He will be our help and our strength all the time. And moving on to "Hallowed be your name." We've been looking at who we are in him. Here we need to look for a moment at who he is. Hallowing his name, praising and worshipping him. What is God's name? Well, he said to Moses, when Moses asked him, he said, "I am who I am." If anyone asks you who sent you, say, "I am sent you." How on earth do we understand that? And he says in other places that he's righteousness, that he's a sanctifier, that he's peace, and so on, many, many names. Jesus has said he's the bread of life, the light of the world. It is important to acknowledge just who God is, the great, almighty God, as I've said. And yet he's called us to be part of his kingdom and spread his word. I read these words this week, that through Jesus, he has co-opted us into the family business. What a business. It's an incredible message for the whole world. And we're to pass it on. Yes, globally and nationally, but also on our front lines, wherever they are. Knowing who we are. And then we move on to "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." You know, when we pray this prayer, we're really praying for change. Safety, security, and comfort are all great, but as children of God, we want to see change. Change in ourselves, change in society. Change in our world. I don't know if you've noticed when you've been out walking, we walk a lot, it's all we're able to do at the moment. But when we walk, people are very good normally at getting to the other side of the path. We walk on little lanes and they go into single file and we go into single file and all is well. But does it annoy you when people don't do it? it does me. You know, just that little effort about being kind, being thinking of other people. As Jesus followers, we want to see change. Changes in attitudes, changes in care for everyone. Changes for leaders all over the world, for them to be people of integrity and wisdom. I've heard God's kingdom called the upside down kingdom. You know, the Jews had struggles in New Testament times. They were being ruled by the Romans. They dealt with being people of God in different ways, if you remember. Some of them retreated into the desert to be on their own with God. Some obeyed the regime without question. Some made personal piety their aim, and others just got on with life. When Jesus came, he declared that the kingdom of God had arrived. You know, we are living today with that knowledge. We live, if we know him, we're living within the kingdom of God. And we want God's kingdom to come all around us. And this is the task we are co-opted to with Jesus. And give us this day our daily bread. In these words, we're praying for our needs. It's actually about relying on our Heavenly Father. I love what my notes said here. It's a description of our relationship with him and affirms our significance to him. It's about handing over control, total control of our lives to Jesus. If we are people who like to be in control, this can be very difficult to do. And we might find it takes time, takes a lot of time to learn how to do it. Over the years, Paul and I have had to learn it, as have so many people listening now. I could name so many people here who will say that let God be in control, because he'll never let you down. We are his children. Did you trust your own parents when you were young? I certainly did. God is the perfect parent. He will never let us down. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sorry, I've missed out. Forgive us our debts, haven't I? Can I go back a step? Am I allowed? Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. I don't think I actually need to say much about it, because we know, don't we, that we need forgiveness on and on and on. How amazing it is that Jesus has paid the price for us to be forgiven. We've been forgiven for the past, but we do keep making mistakes, don't we? And we just have to repent and ask. How amazing is that? Notice, though, the second part. As we have forgiven. Often that's harder, isn't it? It's harder to forgive than it is to ask for forgiveness for ourselves. But it's what Jesus asks us to do. And he will help us do it if we struggle with it, which I'm sure we've all done over time. But when we can do this, forgive and be forgiven, we are in right standing with Jesus. As his people on the front line, that is important for us to be in that standing. And now will lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. How confident are we about keeping going as disciples today ourselves to do his work in the world? I know I'm not confident all the time, not in myself. Our humanity comes into it, doesn't it? Jesus knows that, and we pray these words because we need his help. He's saying, be careful. There is an enemy out there who will try to pull you off course. He tried tempting Jesus. He's going to try to tempt us too. He wants to drag us away from God's ways, and we will be tested. Thank God we don't go to our front lines alone. We go with the presence of Jesus as he empowers and protects and enables us in the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Serving God on our front lines is not about trying harder. That won't work. It's about allowing that power within us to do what God has asked of us. I want to encourage all of us to think about our front line in relation to this wonderful prayer that we use so often. It starts with our identity, and it goes on to show us how we can be confident every day. May God bless you as you discover more and more of the wonders of Almighty God and how he enables us to be fruitful on our front line. Shall we pray? God our Father, we thank you for that prayer that you gave to your disciples so long ago and how important it is for us today. Help us to gain more and more understanding of it. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to show us just who you are and who we are in you, so that we may serve you to the best of our ability. In Jesus' name, amen.